book of Revelation. Of course, when you turn to Revelation, you always, you know, automatically think of end time events, and that's correct. We're going to look at something that I don't know if it's perceived to be what I would consider a very strong sign of the times we live in. We want to look at what's called anti-Semitism, the biblical storyline. Revelation chapter number 12. A lot of people struggle with defining it, interpreting it. It morphs throughout history, but it's in the Bible. We want to understand it, pinpoint it, see how God reverses it, makes every crooked place straight. What a wonderful God we have. In Revelation 12, now you look at this with me. Thank you, Jesus. Begin in verse 1. And the Bible says this: there appeared a great wonder in heaven. Where is this taking place? In heaven. And John's seeing something, lifetime. He's transported into the future. He sees something. He sees a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now he sees something that's only spoken of one other time in the Bible. You could debate all you want what this is, who this is. It's identified in Genesis 37. Israel. And upon her head a crown of 12 stars. See the number 12? See how we're in chapter 12? And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. So she has a child. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. Now we know who the great red dragon is. It's the devil. Horns, that has to do with his political unification of world empires, culminating in the last world power, the New World Order, you know, was one of the names given it. Seven crowns upon his heads, could be the last one. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, which are going to be angels cast out of heaven, and did cast the earth. This is going to take place in the middle of the tribulation. Hasn't happened yet. We're approaching a time where not only all hell is going to be opened on earth, all heaven on its way to hell is going to be opened up on earth. This is the devil's last pit stop in his race against God. Guess what? He's going to lose because God already won. And so he says, having seven heads and ten horns, seven crowns, his tail drew the third part of the stars, his tail of heaven, cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. He had a desire to devour that child. We know who that child was. It's Jesus. Hated him. The child was caught up to heaven. But he still hates him. And he still hates the people that he came to rule the world through. Who are those people? The Jews. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into, but she's still on earth. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. This takes place in the middle of the tribulation. It's his last attempt to try to thwart the word of God and stop and prevent Jesus Christ from ruling on earth. It's his last thing. There's one thing remains to be done that he has to do, and the fulfillment of prophecy to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Say, what's that? He's got to convert the nation of Israel, and he will rule the nations of the world through the nation of Israel, seated in the seat, throne room of David in Jerusalem. And so there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and they prevailed not, and neither was there found any more place in their place found in any more in heaven for them. The dragon's cast out. He's the serpent, he's the devil, he's Satan. He deceived the whole world. He's cast out. Look at verse 13. Oh, verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil's come down unto you having great wrath. He is angry, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. His time's running out. He doesn't have forever. We've only been here like 6,000 years, the Bible storyline. But within that Bible storyline, there's a rise of a hatred of a people like no other people that's ever existed, the Jews, anti-Semitism. Be careful of it. It's rising. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. In verse number 17, the dragon was wroth with the woman. He hates the woman who is Israel. Hates her. And went to make war with the remnant of her what? Her seed. He hates her seed. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the seed of Israel, the Jews. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So my task today is to help us be kind of aware of a sign of the times that I believe can be very dangerous if it's not properly understood, because it's rising. It's affecting churches. There's a very pointed hatred that's targeting right now, obviously and in the open, against Jews. Beware. There's prejudices and hatred of people of all ethnicities throughout time. You know, people just hate people. You're not like me, so I hate you. And when everybody's in, in harmony with each other, then they begin to hate each other, because we're children of wrath till you're born again. There's hatred in the human spirit. This is dangerous. Revelation 12 begins with a vision John has that is identified in Genesis 37. Read it yourself, verses 9 to 11. It is Israel. But what's interesting is Israel in Genesis 37 is talking about Joseph. He's going to be bowed down to by the tribes of Israel, the father. They're going to bow down to him. We're not going to bow down. They don't bow down to him till the second time they meet him. Then his name is revealed to them. Do you get that? Jesus Christ came once. Did they bow down to him? The second time, they're going to bow down to him. When his name is revealed to them, that's when they're going to know it. They're going to know that Jesus is Jehovah Saves. The prophecy of Emmanuel fulfilled in the virgin birth of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection soon to return in the second advent as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the devil hates him and his seed that comes through the nation of Israel. Hates it very specifically. We're going to get a hold of this, because in Matthew, Jesus Christ talks to the Pharisees and he says, you know what? An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. You're not getting no more signs. The sign of the prophet Jonah, that's it. That's talking about, you want to know who I am? Well, you've got the sign of the prophet. I'm going to resurrect. That's it. That doesn't mean there aren't any more signs. That's the sign that condemns the world in their unbelief, the resurrection. Disprove it. You can't. So don't believe it. You can. And you're a fool. Now he says, they approach him and say, what's going to be the sign of thy coming? One is the sign of who he is. There are no more signs. Resurrection. The sign of his coming, there's plenty of them. They ask him, and he begins to identify a bunch of signs when Jesus is coming. One of them, which is very important, is anti-Semitism. You say, Brother John, but that happens in the tribulation. You don't think the devil comes to this world and say, hey, everybody, I'm the Antichrist. Vote for me. Now let's start killing them Jews. You know what he's got to do? He's got to prepare the mind of people to blame shift, to hate, to point the finger at. Let's unify in our hatred against the Jews. That's what he's done throughout history. That's the anti-Semitism. The biblical storyline portrays that throughout time. We're going to see that. Jesus Christ says this himself. You don't have to turn there. But he says in John chapter 16, These things have I spoken unto you, ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues in the last days. We're going to be gone. See? It's not the church anymore that's the light and the salt of the earth. It's a Jewish testimony. It's not the church trying to evangelize Messianic Jews. It's the Messianic Jews trying to convert Gentiles as well as the nation of Israel. And so he said, they shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think they doeth God service. So there's this moral justification of spiritual virtue signaling. It's the Jews. They kill them. Jesus says, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. This is anti-Semitism, the biblical storyline. It's a hatred of God. Somebody hates God, so he hates the Jews, because God loves the Jews. Somebody hates God, so he hates the saints in the church, because the saints in the church love God. Amen? Should be, right? We want to look at it in the last days particular, this rise of anti-Semitism. I hope we make that clear. Now, this biblical storyline, like any storyline, has main characters. There's a villain and a hero. There's the protagonist, the good guy, God and his people. There's the antagonist opposing the good guy, Satan and his people. Say, who's that? The world of unbelievers. It's united. There's a united front that will band behind anti-Semitism. It's the story line in the Bible throughout. There's the theme. So what's this really all about? Really all about God and his people. Why is he hated? The setting, help me understand this. You know, let me read this and understand it. You know, put me in some type of location and timeline. Starts in heaven to be continued on earth. Throughout time, during a crunch time of 3.5 years, which we're fast approaching. The invisible is playing out in the eyes of the visible. We're watching a spiritual hatred of Jews because there's a spiritual hatred of God. You've got to get this, brother. That there's nothing like anti-Semitism. You can hate all kinds of people, but nobody's ever been hated like the Jew. The Bible says God will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. It's through the Jew that salvation will come. The oracles of God came through the Jews. Our Lord and Savior Messiah, who came to this world as a man, did not come as an Italian, Polish, Russian, Chinese, German, Slavic, Mexican, Venezuelan. He came as a Jew. Amen? You got to remember that. You got to remember this book in front of you is a Jewish book that was penned under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. We need to understand that. That's the setting, amen? And so Satan's thrust in his attempt to vainly conquer God is under pressure in Revelation 12. He's only got 3.5 years. He knows it's coming. What we're seeing is a reflex anticipation of this. He's going to be ousted from the heavenlies, and he has to deceive the world into worshiping him as the Messiah and eventually hating the Jews. Seeds are being sown right now. It's not just Hamas and Gaza and Israel. People are being compelled to make a decision, take a position. And churches are getting pulled into the vortex of this stormy deception that wants people to think it's the Jews' fault. That's the plot. The plot involves a tone and a sequence of events. Hidden reasons are developed in the storyline. Motives are uncovered. There's lots of countless opportunistic people that they take advantage of the opportunity to badmouth the Jews. There's a multitude of self-righteous justification for angst and anger and hatred and downright down do wrong emotions. that are not fully understood by the people that are being used by the devil, who's a lizard chameleon. He dog whistles the sound that causes frantic barking. The Jews! And they hate the Jews. That's satanic, brother. Know it for what it is. Anti-Semitism, the biblical storyline. Why is it? I'm going to show you. The conclusion is, and any storyline is, joins all the components together. And he makes sense of it. Amen? He makes sense of it. Praise the Lord. There's only two major points we're going to look at that God has laid on my heart to try to accomplish this by his grace. Two major points in our text need to be briefly expounded on. God's got to give us wisdom. The first one is, we're in Revelation 12, but the first one is, why and what is anti-Semitism? See, the why it is unfolds into the what it is. Amen? It's a hatred of God. It's a hatred of God. Somebody hates God because he wants to be God. Somebody hates Christ because he wants to be Christ. Somebody hates the Jew that God will rule over the world through because he wants to rule over the world. Amen? Why and what it is. And our second point is why and what happens to it. The why unfolds into what happens to it. One is, you're going to see the first point is the hidden hatred of anti-Semitism. And then we're going to see the open love that God has, even for anti-Semites. And by anti-Semitism, the biblical storyline, the love of God is the conclusion. The hatred of God is where the devil's got people deceived and following. Paul ends it in Romans 11 when he talks about the salvation of Israel. Hey, folks. And he says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. God uses anti-Semitism to bring the Gentiles in, and then finalizing it with bringing the Jews back in. Glory to God, what genius it is. Amen? His love is unmistakable. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been his counselor? Who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to be glory, glory to God forever and ever. Now look in our text. Why and what is anti-Semitism? Just be careful. There needs to be balance. Revelation chapter 12, you see it in verse number 4. His tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. He did cast them to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, to devour her child, as he hates the child that was born through this woman. That woman is Israel. I pointed that out to you in Genesis 37. There's no mistaking it. It's the only other place it's found in the Bible. That child is Jesus Christ. Watch and see what God allows and only God allows. That's the only reason it exists. He's using the anger and hatred people have to manifest his unsearchable wisdom and love for a world that hates him. In Revelation 12, see it in verse number 13 or 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. The devil has come down unto you having great wrath. He hates God. He hates God's people. Because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the who? The woman. This is anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism at its source is spiritual, invisible, satanic. It's what it is. It's not just, a skirmish, between the Hatfields and the McCoys. It's a hatred, a deep-rooted hatred for God and his people. You got to understand this and know it for what it is. He hates them. He hates their seed. In verse 17, the dragon was wroth with the woman, want to make war with the woman, with the remnant of her seed. Jesus Christ identifies this. You could stay in Revelation. I'll read you some verses. In John chapter 8, verse 36, Jesus points this out, and it's important we get a hold of this. Because the Bible identifies that the Jewish people are both physical and spiritual. You're not a physical Jew, automatically a spiritual Jew. The Jews mistake that. A child of Abraham physically, a child of Abraham spiritually. The land of Jerusalem physically, there's a land of Jerusalem spiritually. There's a Mount Zion physically, there's a Mount Zion spiritually. There's a physical seed of the Jews, there's a spiritual seed of the Jews, and if you equate them, you're on dangerous grounds. Because the Jews will assume they're automatically saved, and the church will assume they take the place of the Jews, because we're spiritual Jews, not physical Jews. They're physical Jews, not spiritual Jews. What unites them together is faith in the name of who? Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. Now, Jesus is pointing this out in John chapter 8, verse 36 and 37. He says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's seed physically, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I know you're Abraham's seed, but then he says, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. They're not the spiritual descendants of Abraham because they're the physical descendants of Abraham. And the church is not the physical descendants of Abraham taking the promise that belonged to physical Jews because they're the spiritual descendants of Abraham. Either one of those falls prey to the danger that God despises and speaks about in Revelation. Those that call themselves Jews and are not either one. They're of the synagogue of Satan. You've got this concept of replacement theology. God's done with the Jew. You've got this concept of we're God's chosen people. We're saved automatically. It doesn't work like that. There's a balance we want to get a hold of. What he hates, they hate you because they hate me. It's a hatred for God. Understand what this is. Never mind everybody in the world. There's a spiritual, invisible reality to anti-Semitism in the biblical storyline. It's a hatred for God. It's a hatred for the seed. Now, this is first found out. And you could turn here. And then in two places. Genesis 3:15. God promises to remove the curse and redeem mankind after the fall on Adam and Eve through a seed. Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, talking to the serpent, talking to the woman who prefigures Israel. And between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, later on, that seed is identified as a spiritual seed, physically fulfilled in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But spiritually, the blessings and removal of that curse belong to those whose faith put their trust in Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 4, verse 13. I'm a spiritual Jew right here. But I'm not a Hebrew. Romans chapter number 4. The Bible says in verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of what? Of faith. Verse 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end of the promise, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. He tells us in Galatians chapter number 3, that seed is it's Christ. That's why you and I are saved. We're not physical Jews. We're spiritual Jews. Galatians, but we don't inherit the physical promises that God gave to the Jews. Israel doesn't belong to us. It belongs to Israel. It doesn't belong to the Muslims. It belongs to Israel. It doesn't belong to the United Nations. It belongs to Israel. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed was the promise made. He saith not unto seeds, as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed, which is who? Christ. You've got to make sure you understand that. Don't unite the physical and the spiritual together apart from faith. The spiritual Jew isn't the physical Jew. The physical Jew isn't the spiritual Jew. Amen. God makes a distinction between the Jew, the Gentile, and the church of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul says he identifies three groups of humanity when it comes down to seed. The Jew, the Gentile, and the church of God. We're spiritual. Amen. Amen. Get a hold of that. Understand that. Because the barbaric, broad, murderous death acts of Satan are because he hates God and the Jewish people, the nation God chose to bring salvation to the world through. What you saw on October 7 is not morally equivalent to what's taking place as the consequential collateral damage to death of civilians in Gaza. One was murderous. One was raping women, killing and butchering children. You got to know what this is. This is evil. There's no other description of it. It's satanic, because anti-Semitism at its core is satanic. Amen. You've got to understand what it is. He was defeated spiritually at the cross. He's attempting to thwart the prophecy fulfillment to the Jew physically. By doing what? By annihilating them. In the tribulation, only one third of the Jews around the world survive. You're told that in the Old Testament minor prophets. Anti-Semitism, the Bible storyline. Amen? Hey, everybody, I'm the Antichrist. Let's go kill the Jews. No, there has to be seed sown as a prelude before he comes to get people riled up. Yeah, it is the Jews. Amen? Just like they did with Russia. Just like they did with Germany. Just like they did with the Crusades. Now hear and understand this. It's the name. God uses anti-Semite has a meaning. Anti-Semitic, it has a meaning. Adam means man. Noah means rest. Abraham means father of many nations. Ishmael means God will hear. Isaac means laughter of God. Isn't that something? Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, means prince of God. Judah means praise of God. Jerusalem means city, foundation of peace. Zion is the hill of God. There's a hill worth dying on. In Zion, Jerusalem, the city of peace. Where there's a man who's from the tribe of Judah, Israel, Isaac, Abraham. In the line of a man that was a descendant child of Noah called Shem. Look at it in Genesis chapter 9. See, the devil tries to get people to buy in. He deceives them. He deludes them. In every instance, people buy in. There's a trade-off. I'll give you what you want. You give me what I want. I hate God and his people. What do you want to be part of my destructive hatred in killing them? This is the biblical storyline. Anti-Semitism. Don't think it isn't. See it in Genesis 9? This is amazing to me. And verse number 26, they get out of the ark, and God, you know, there's problems. Noah makes mistakes like all of us do, but God makes a prophetic pronouncement for the three children of Noah. It's not a genetic curse or a genetic blessing. It's a prophetic curse and a prophetic blessing. He sees what's going to happen in the future. And when he speaks of Shem, he says this. In verse 26, he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem." Now, that's amazing. The Messiah, the promised seed, is going to come through Shem. Later on in Genesis 9, 10, 11, Shem gives birth. It comes to Abraham, the father of the Jewish people. Blessed be the Lord God of Shem. He's identifying where that seed is going to come. Now, why is that important? Because Shem, the name, has a meaning. Anti-Semitic has a meaning. Anti-Semitic is a condensed version of anti-Shemitic. It's Shem. It's a hatred of Shem. Why? Because of that prophecy. I hate prophecy. I hate it because he keeps fulfilling it. Amen. Amen. Revelation 12, he's going to fulfill it. That woman doesn't know who Joseph is or his name till the second time. What an amazing book. Yes, it is. He hates it, brother. He hates it Shem means the name. Wow. It's associated with honor, authority, and character bestowed upon that child of Noah. It means the name. Anti-Semitic, anti-Shemitic, the name. He hates the name that seed line is going to give birth to. Now you and I know who that name is. It's Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior of all mankind. He hates anti-Semite, the name. He hates the name. So what does he tell Cain? There's a seed coming. What do you want? Okay. Kill Abel. He might be the seed line. He's the only other child they have. And I know you're not, because you sold your soul to me. You anti-Semite. Be careful. It's a dangerous thing. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? I'm not saying you're automatically lost if you're an anti-Semite. I'm saying you're on a dangerous path to losing your soul. They're not just an ethnic group of people. They're God's chosen people. Doesn't mean they're saved, because God's chosen people can be the people of pride or the people of promise. What makes them the spiritual Jew is their faith. Amen? In who? In Jesus Christ. That wonderful, beautiful name. Amen? Anti-Semitism. It's a hatred of the Semite, a hatred of the name. Prophesied that the saving seed would come. Kill him, he tells Cain. Kill him. He keeps it going on and on. Noah. Kill. Kill the generation of Noah. Go ahead, send a flood. Kill Noah too. Fine. But he didn't, did he?
No, he didn't.
Amen. Glory to God. Kill him. He wants to kill them all. Kill Shem. Kill his descendants. Kill him on the ark. Let him die for that year on there. Let him die. Kill him. Couldn't kill him. Couldn't topple over that ark. Now could he? Kill Abraham. He says, kill them all. Kill Abraham. Go ahead. God says, Abraham, I'm going to give you a seed. He said, oh, you know, never mind the seed. Won't you take Ishmael? Forget the seed. What are you talking about? I prophesied the seed that would come by faith as the Savior of the world. I'm not going to forget him, even though you do. Not understanding, he was listening to an influence. That was anti-Semitic without understanding it. Amen? It's not going to come through Ishmael. It's going to come through Israel. And through Israel, you're going to have Judah. Jacob to Judah. The scepter will not depart from Judah. Kill him. Kill him when he messes around with that prostitute. Kill him. Kill his seed. Don't honor and the character and the authority of that name. Kill him. He didn't kill him, did he? What a wonderful God. Grace and mercy. Anti-Semitism. The biblical storyline, he's been out to kill this seed. Ever since, once he finds out who it is, now I know who it is, not just the whole, it's through Judah. He knows that. He said, you know what? You know, kill Joseph so that they'll starve to death. They'll die in the tribulation before they know who his name really is. Go ahead, kill him. Kill Moses. Do me a favor. Don't let Moses be the deliverer. Kill him as a little child. It's anti-Semitism. Why? Why kill little baby Moses? I mean, if you don't like little kids, there's something wrong with you?
Yes.
Little baby Moses? Kill him! You go through this and you see it over and over and over and over again. Kill them in the wilderness! Look what they're talking to you. God, kill them! Kill Joshua and the children of Israel as they go into Canaan. Send those giants! Kill them! Well, we're not going to do that, are we? Because God made a promise. Amen? Said, kill David, Saul, kill David, you be the king. Just kill David, you can continue to be the king. Didn't work, did it? Now kill his seed, because he murdered a man in order to have a child to Bathsheba that he, you know, had the hots for. Now burn him, God, burn him. He didn't do that, did he? Solomon with all his wives, kill him. kill that seed. There's one child in the line of Judah. His name was Joash. And they all the sons of the royal line of Judah were killed. All of them were killed. Except one. One. It only takes one. And only one. Amen. God saved Joash. Kill them. Kill them all. Curse them, God. Jeconiah, Israel, so filthy, so wicked. Send them to Assyria. Send them to Babylon. Yeah, God's all done with the Jew. God's not done with the Jew. Amen. Anti-Semitism. Know it for what it is. See, it's anti-Semitism. It's a hatred of God. It's a hatred of that name. Not known yet what it will be until Jesus Christ the Lord is born. Conceived of a woman, fulfilling prophecy after prophecy after prophecy. And God says, you know what, Joseph? You're going to call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Kill him. Here it says, kill him, every child 2 years old and younger. Kill them all. It's anti-Semitism. It's genocidal. So the devil, kill them all. It's not just kick Israel out of the land. It's kill them all. It's from the river to the sea. Wipe them all out. That's hatred. That's hatred. That's satanic. That's what it is. Know it for what it is. Be careful, brethren. A fallen prey. Well, yeah, but the Jews this and the Jews that. Amen? You got this stuff going on all over. Here comes Jesus Christ. He lives a perfect, sinless life. And they say, crucify him. We don't want... Crucify him! Not without putting a sign over his head. This is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Anti-Semitism. They didn't understand the spiritual was more important than the physical. Someday they will. But that role that the Jews had in the crucifixion of Christ has been blamed on them and justified by religions around the world. You Jews, you're Christ killers. That's what the early age of the church. They blamed the Jews. They tortured them, beat them up, burned them. You Jews, you crucified the Messiah. They use that to blame them. And the Jews know this and they understand this. And they have a hurt distrust for Christianity and other religions and the world because they blame them. They blame them. And you watch this develop and you see during the Crusades, you've got this hatred for the Jews. They're killing Jews. In the name of God, thinking they're doing it because you crucified them. Let me tell you right now, the Jews didn't kill Jesus Christ. The Gentiles didn't kill Jesus Christ. The world didn't kill Jesus Christ. I laid down my life myself, and I got power to take it up again. Glory to God. That's wonderful to know. But to blame, it's the Jews. They blame the Jews. You got the same thing taking place during the Russian Revolution. It's the Jews. They make all the money. They got all the money in the banks and they loan the money and they make profit. It's the Jews and all the pogroms that existed during, you know, the Tsarist movement prior to the Russian Bolshevist Revolution. They were torturing and killing Jews. Jews, are you hearing me? The pogroms were all Jewish. The Crusades was Jewish. They hate the Jews. Why? Because they hate God. You got to wipe out the Jew. Because God has a prophecy that remains. Say, what's that? He's going to save the nation of Israel. 1948, they were born again nationally. Not yet spiritually. You've got the pogroms. You got the Bolsheviks. It's the Jews' fault. They're the one. Blah, 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 blah. And then you've got the Holocaust and Adolf Hitler. It's the Jews' fault. Let's wipe them out. They just didn't kick them out of the country. Could you go somewhere else, please? They killed them. They murdered them. They experimented on them. They tortured them. Well, they killed the Messiah. And they tried to justify it. Understand what's going on right now, brethren. The Jews, they're imperialists. They're trying to take over our country and they want more and they need to be killed and wiped out. That's what's going on in Israel right now. The country surrounding it and people making a stand. You got to take a position. Understand anti-Semitism, the biblical storyline. And as sorry as it was, the Jews have made many mistakes in covenanting with the devil's people. Sure, they're involved in Hollywood and banks and international conspiracies and world dominance. Sure, they're involved with all that, just like a whole bunch of Gentiles are. Amen? Understand it for what it is. They're no different than anybody else as far as their human nature. Amen? But they covenanted with their oppressors in order to have a hope of maybe finding favor and liberation, only to find that the oppressor they covenant with bring them into bondage all over again. They're going to covenant with the Antichrist with that same deluded concept because they don't understand anti-Semitism, the biblical storyline. He'll give you whatever you want, and then he'll take your soul. What do you want? The temple? Freedom? Maybe people will start writing good things about us and like us? We're not that bad. Okay. 3.5 years. Oop. I mean, okay. Anti-Semitism. The biblical storyline. Until they know and bow down someday to what? The name that is above every name. They refuse to do that. Jesus Christ says in Luke chapter 13, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Verily I say unto you, you shall not see me. Until the time come when you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Shem? Anti-Semite? Anti-Semite? The name? Authority? Character? Honor? The name? But what's the name? Now we know the seed. What about the name? It's Jesus. Jesus. This is where it leads to. This is why campuses are rising up with the boldness of academia and Hollywood and the news media and the UN, unprecedented laws targeting Israel like no other nation with restrictions and antagonisms. Amen. Governments and churches alike are rising up, taking a stand against Israel. That'll never happen here. That's a red flag warning. Understand it. You want to get it? Anti-Semitism. The biblical storyline. That's point one. Why? What? Oh, you see here what happens to it. Why and what why anti-Semitism unfolds into what happens. Not just a hidden hatred of Semitism, the Jews, God, the name Jesus. It's an open love. Semitism. The biblical storyline of anti-Semitism is God loves a world that hates him. God will give life to a world that killed him, even though they didn't. He laid down his life and he took it again. This is the present anti-Semitism we need to understand. It's no different than the 1,000 to 1,400 crusades or the 1,800, 1,900, Russian Revolution and the Zionism and the Balfour Declaration. And we hate the Jews and we love the Jews. We're supposed to love the Jews. You better love the Jews, not because they're Jews, because of who God is and how he chose to use the Jews to bring salvation to the world. It's to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Amen? Jewish salvation spiritually is integral as a nation to the return of Jesus Christ. This is the one thing Satan wants to stop. It's his last opportunity to stop prophecy. He's not going to stop the mark of the beast and the rise of the one world government, the one world economy, the one world religion. He's not going to stop all the intellectual, use of information to bring about, all the, electronics and technology and computers. He's not going to stop all the stuff that's going to be fulfilled in the tribulation except one thing. If I could just kill the Jews. That's what he's trying to do. That's the seed you see happening right now. The devil has a short time and one remaining prophecy to prevent. Our text tells us he goes after the Jew in the tribulation. Tries to wipe her out in Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 through 14. Watch and see what God does and only God can do. Because God said, I'm going to prove to the world and to the Jew that you don't need the world to save you. Guess what? Israel doesn't need American money passed by the Congress. Israel doesn't need the United Nations patting them on the back. Israel doesn't need a replenishment of the Iron Dome missile technology. Israel doesn't need the podcasters and the CBS and NBC and AB, all the news media leftists. He doesn't need them to save the Jews, because he's going to save the Jews. Amen. Romans 11 tells us this, and understand this. I'm going to read you some verses. Salvation is of the Jews. Romans 11, Paul says, I say then, have God cast away his people? They're his people. Doesn't mean they're saved. There's a physical and a spiritual Jew. They're his people of promise or his people of pride. Either way, he made a promise to the Jews. It's their faith that determines if they get saved. God forbid, for I am also an Israelite and the seed of Abraham of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. He tells us in verse 14. And if by any means I may provoke emulation to them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them, the Jews, be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be? Life from the dead. Wait till God saves the Jew. You're going to see a refreshing on this world, which we call the millennium, we've never seen yet. Prosperity, a gradual reversing of the curse. Not a removal, but a reversing. That's that whole olive tree, you know, parable and metaphor. And he says this, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceit. Calling themselves Jews, the synagogue of Jews, and they're not. They're the synagogue of Satan. That blindness in part has happened to Israel till the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. This is what Satan is trying to stop. What do you got to do? Well, you know, what do you want? You just got to help me. Kill them Jews. Hate them Jews. It's the Jews' fault. That he goes over and over and understanding this. God's going to show that he's the God of the Jews. Ethnically, they're a seed of Abraham. Spiritually, they're the seed of Abraham that traces all the way back to the Genesis promise, fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Anti-Semite, Shemite, the name. They don't yet know the name of Jesus is their Messiah. They don't yet get that. That's why you see in Job, the 42 chapters of Job's life, persecution, enduring persecution all the way to the end. You've seen the end of Job. God gives mercy upon all as a result of Job. He says, Job, now you pray for them. The Bible ends in Revelation chapter 22 with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the hatred of that name. Satan hates that name. And God loves it. There's no name like Jesus Christ. He tells us in Zechariah chapter 12. Let me read it to you. God says, I love you with an everlasting love. The sun's going to have to stop shining. The moon's going to have to stop. In order for me to give up on Israel, all of creation has to stop. I don't think that's going to happen. Revelation chapter, Zechariah chapter 12. Let me read this to you. Anti-Semitism, the biblical storyline. It's been since the Garden of Eden, this hatred of this seed. We don't know who the seed is yet, so we're just going to generally kill till we find out it's coming through Shem. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, David, Solomon. We're going to wipe them out. Born king of the Jews in the city of Bethlehem. Kill him. Lives a sinless, perfect life. Kill him, kill him, kill him, kill him! Crucify him, crucify him. Now kill him. You, spiritually, he won. It's over! There's a prophecy that remains. We got to kill them Jews. That's all that remains. As far as the fulfillment of God's prophecy to the Jewish people. Amen? He says, I am, I am. What's that name? When I say turn, Zechariah what? Zechariah chapter 12. Verse 1 to 3. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens, layeth the foundation of the earth, formeth the spirit of man within. I'll make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about. They shall be in a siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. In that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with the sun. I'm going to fight for Israel. The battle is the Lord's. It's something to discover. It's something to understand. That God hath given a name that is above every name. It's the name of Jesus Christ. And that someday, the Bible says, a child is born, a son is given. And the government is going to be on his shoulders. And it gives a list of names of all his attributes. But the name that is above every name, they don't know about till he's born. Say, what is his name? Jesus. Jesus, you got to understand this. Jesus, he preached against the Jews. But he wasn't anti-Semitic. He loved them. He's like, Jews, you're stubborn, you're proud, you're hypocrites. But like a hen gathers her babe, I would gather you. And he wept. And he said, every stone in this temple is going to be destroyed. Because you don't know the day of your visitation. That wasn't anti-Semitism. It was God's love for the Jews. They didn't understand. Paul preached against the Jews. You're self-righteous. You're hypocrites. You're not submitting yourselves to the righteousness of God. But he loved these. I wish in my heart I could be cursed for the Jews, that they might get saved, even some of them. What was it? Jeremiah preached against the Jews, and he wept, and he preached against the Jews. But he loved them. See, that's not anti-Semitism. You have to understand, the people of God are either the people of pride or the people of promise. You're not a spiritual Jew because you're a physical Jew. And you're not a physical Jew because you're a spiritual Jew. Don't equate them automatically and become part of the synagogue of Satan. I'm going to read you these verses in Acts and we'll be closing. Because in Acts chapter 4, this is what Peter did all throughout the book of Acts. You know what they're preaching? They're preaching Jesus. I'm going to show you a couple places. Acts 4 and Acts 5. Anti-Semitism. The biblical storyline. It has a villain and a hero. It has a theme. It has a plot. It has a tone. It has a conclusion. God wins. Israel gets saved. In Acts chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says this. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked them, by what power or by what name have you done this? Anti-Semite. Anti-Shemite. Shemite means name. A hatred of God involves a hatred of the name. Honor, authority, and character. We don't know who that is yet. We know who it is. What's his name? Who saved you, blind man? Who did that? By what authority are you doing this? He says in Acts chapter 4, verse 10. Be it known unto you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised, the hidden hatred of the Jew is satanic. The open love of God is not satanic. It's divine. He's showing them whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. Verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. Israel has to be saved acknowledging who Jesus Christ is. They have to, and they will. Verse number 18, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all now, nor teach in the name of Jesus. We'll let you go. We don't want to hear about this Jesus. They overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the command, keeping the commandments. They know who the Lamb of God is. In verse 30 of this chapter, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Chapter 5 will close in verse 28 and 29. Saying, did not we straightly command you that you should not teach in this name? We don't want to hear about Jesus. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Till the day they died, what did they preach? They preached salvation in one name and one name only. Anti-Semitism. The biblical storyline is a hatred for God and the name of that seed. It comes through the Jews, conceived and born miraculously in Jesus Christ, the Lord. Dies, buries, resurrects, ascends, and he's coming back again. Not with a sign over the cross, this is Jesus, King of the Jews. No, this is Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords. Do you know him? That's all that matters. Lord, I pray that we would be a witness and a testimony, help the red flags rise when a sense of hatred toward the Jews. So many things they do wrong, like every other ethnic people. We can't blame them for what you chose and took upon yourself to do, not only in their behalf, but in our behalf through the Jew. Thank you for the Bible, the salvation, the messiahship of Jesus as a Jew above all Jews. Thank you that someday you'll return again, King of the Jews, but also King of kings, Lord of lords. May we not be pulled into this false sense of robbery that Satan, the thief, and the robber would have us fall prey to, thinking that the physical promises of Israel belong to us. They don't. Let us obey and humbly accept the wonderful, immeasurable love that you've given us and the spiritual promises of eternal life through Jesus Christ. And may we be partnered in any way we can to help fulfill the future conversion of the nation of Israel spiritually. In any way we can, show us in our love that you love them with, extending through us, that they all might be saved. We ask this for Jesus' sake and in his name until he returns. Amen. Amen, brethren.